All right, so welcome everybody to the Motive Podcast, where we believe that you are the hero of your life and that your self-defeating beliefs are your greatest enemy, and the greatest motive in life is connection. I'm Shaden Bertinoli, and I'm a marriage and family therapist, and I'm joined with my awesome co-host, Bree.
Hey.
And this is episode, I think I'm going to call it zero.
I like zero.
And because one will be whatever we pivot off from this one, but this is episode zero. So Bree, how are you feeling about this?
a little scared, but I'm excited.
This is crazy.
I think it's something we've prepped for a while, so it's, excited nervousness.
I paid way too much money for podcast gear to not let this work.
This is great.
Oh, so what are we going to talk about today on our first episode?
I think we should talk about us.
Okay.
And our fears and how we got here, maybe.
Awesome. That's what I was thinking, too. We had planned, as I was writing up kind of a bit of an outline, I was thinking, it's easy to try to do this almost like an act, almost like a performance.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? No, in therapy, it's all about the process. So in therapy, if somebody's sitting on the couch with you, you're hearing what they say, but you're also listening for what they're saying with everything else. So the process, their body language, what they're not saying, how they're looking, how they're not looking.
And like me folding my arms over here.
Totally. Just being terrified. I don't want to do this after all. So I think it's superhuman to just like, not superhuman, but it's superhuman to, and appropriate for us to kind of process what's going on for us.
Sure.
A little bit. And so I will introduce a principle that I think is awesome. When it comes to any time we're in a situation where we're feeling a bit anxious or feel a little pressure, and it's called self-ownership. And so the idea behind self-ownership is that you talk about, before you talk about anything else, you just own what's going on for you. So I was working with someone a while back who had trouble dating, and he said it's because he was always just super anxious. And I said, okay, so the next date that you go on, or even asking a girl out, instead of faking it and acting like you're not anxious and hoping she doesn't see it, you're just going to tell
anxious.
Her. You're just going to tell her too. Yeah, you're just going to say, listen, I'm like super anxious to ask you out, or on the very first date. And then he actually did it where he just said, she said, how are you doing? And he said, I'm way anxious about this because I really like you. And that's what he said.
I think girls like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I told him.
Got to have some honesty.
So I thought for this episode, I think we should do the same thing and just kind of let anybody that is listening, if there's two or three of you out there that end up listening to this, just kind of what's going on for us. And so we have a couple questions that we can ask each other, but
okay.
let's demonstrate self-ownership.
Okay.
So who wants to go first?
You can go first.
So you asking me? You asking me questions?
Yes, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay, you ask me some questions.
Okay.
So maybe just ask me, this is funny, I'm totally taking over. You ask me what's going on for you?
All right, what's going on for you?
So it's been cool because I didn't sleep last night. I fell asleep at like 2.
Oh boy.
Because I was like thinking about this and then my brain got going and then I got excited. But it's, I'm not as nervous as I was a while back.
Yeah.
I'm not as nervous.
We've prepped for this long enough that
we have probably over-prepared, overspent. That's for sure. No, but, and so right now though, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm glad the equipment's working and everything, but there's my biggest fear it's probably around, honestly, just my opinion really leaving my office. I get the comfort of sitting in here with people one-on-one, and sadly therapy culture has a lot to, like, most people, or I would say a lot of people, don't talk about their therapy sessions with other people.
Sure.
And so my opinion, whether it's right or wrong, sometimes just stays within these walls. And now it's like, okay, maybe this is gonna,
we're broadcasting it to the world.
So there's a fear there, but yeah. So how are you feeling?
I'm pretty good. I have a little, not a cold, guys, it's COVID. I have a little throat thing going on today, so
yeah, we're both going to get sick next week.
No, I feel good, though. I feel excited about this, and this is a big step in my life.
Did the video we did last week help you to kind of relax and
yeah,
she kind of came out of the closet with on Instagram?
Not that closet.
I know, but she came out and said, I'm part of this, I'm part of Motive, and she'd been kind of hiding behind the curtains for a while.
Yeah, in fact, I was just having a conversation with my sister-in-law before I came into the office here and telling her about what I was doing, and I said my biggest fear is lacking credibility to be here. And I explained to her, and I said it's because, in my opinion, a college degree is very important. And growing up, that was always important, and it's not something I ever finished. And so I feel like sometimes, even though I have lots of opinions, maybe I'm not credible in my opinions because of that, which I think is stupid. I know it, I know that that's a wrong way of thinking, but that is a fear that I have. And I also was telling her that, you know, that I have a lot of knowledge and a lot of life experiences and a lot of studying and a lot of other things that give me a reason to have an opinion. But that, I think that's probably my biggest fear about this.
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
If I have anything to do about your credibility, then I my approval's on it. So
yeah,
it's good though. The cool part is even in your inadequacy though, that's, I think people long way more for connection and to feel like, oh, like I can relate to Bree more than I want her to be my expert in my life.
Oh, sure.
Even though I said you are an expert on a lot of things, and so I'm trying to focus on that too, of just connection, because mm-hmm. it really is. It's when we stop connecting with people, then we're in trouble. Now we're performing and people can feel it. And
yeah,
it's just important to connect and be human. So, all right.
Next question.
Let's play this game. I wrote up a few questions. Did you even look at them?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to ask you a question.
That was the answer to one of my questions, by the way.
Oh, okay. Good. Let's see. Tell us more about who you are.
Okay, so I'm Brianne. I am a wife and a mother. I've been married for, 19 years this year. Did you know that?
No.
That's a long time.
That's awesome.
I have three kids who range in age from 9 to 17, and I've been a stay-at-home mom for 17 years, raising my kids, and I think through that journey of being a mom, and I just have really shifted my perspectives in life. I always wanted to be a doctor, and that was a huge goal of mine and something that I was headed for until I had some medical problems that shifted that goal. And so I dug in and started figuring out what else there was to me and how I could fulfill my life's dreams other ways.
You would have been a great doctor.
Sorry, this cold thing is making me sound great.
It's all good.
So some of the things about me, I really love to be outside. That's kind of my refreshing happy place, is when I can be outside. I love to run, but I would never say I was a runner. I love to create things, and I love people. I love understanding people, and so that's where my motive statement would come in, that I think understanding other people brings me great joy, and I love creating that joy in other people and then getting to know them and understand them through that process.
So I don't know if all of you caught on to that, but she said that she said she had a motive statement, and something we'll talk about way, you know, much more in detail as we keep going along. But motive has a lot of meaning, the word motive. Part of motive is what's going on inside of you about why we do what we do. But also what our mission is in life and kind of what is on the outside of what takes us into the direction we want to go. And so you said your motive statement was, say that one more time.
So understanding people brings me joy, and then creating joy in other people helps me to understand them better.
It's awesome. And I'm sure we'll do some podcasts on helping other people find their motive statements, but mm-hmm. it's really important for us, at least in our belief here with motive, is that I've found that most successful people I've ever talked to, not just worldly successful, but secure, successful people, they're very clear in their why. They mm-hmm. they are very clear in what their mission is in their life. Not that it can't change, but that mission is often infinite. And it, in other words, it's going to be you can reach it, but as soon as you reach it, you have to reach it again. And so finding, like you said, like finding joy with people and creating joy in people. Yeah, you could do that every day, but it doesn't mean you ever accomplished it, so to speak.
Yeah. And well, it's something I think that's carried me through when my goals have changed, you know, as my life has evolved and changed and experiences have changed, that's always been an underlying drive for me.
Yeah.
Regardless. So that leads me to my question then.
Sweet.
Where did motive come from?
Wow. So motive came from a lot of things. So I guess if I kind of give a brief life story a little bit is, I was raised by awesome parents, and my father was, you know, I was the only boy. I have four younger sisters, and my father was, he was a great man. He taught me, I think without telling me, that when you do something, do it with purpose and do it as best you can. And as with as much effort as you possibly can. But as I got older, he was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, and he died after my mission. So I went on a 2-year mission, for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I got back and I had about 2 months with him.
I didn't realize it was that soon.
Yeah. Like two months to the day. So I watched him die basically while I was on my mission. I watched him digress and become confined to a wheelchair. But on a lot of the phone calls that he and I would have and just the interactions that we'd have. And then when I got home, he'd say it in different ways, but he just always talked about connection and relationships that with him knowing that he was going to die, his perspective was, I would say, honestly, nearly perfect. Mm-hmm. And that he was perfect in knowing what is important and what isn't.
Oh yeah. I think you definitely, I'm not saying I've been on near death, but I remember, waiting for a diagnosis for a potential brain tumor at one point in my life and thinking there's nothing more important right now than my husband and my children and those relationships that I have developed.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And then going through losing him, that same thing happened to me where it's like, yeah, like life is important. There's a lot of things to accomplish. But at the same time, it's all about connection. We're not going to be talking about our attainments and our achievements on our deathbed.
Yeah.
It's about the people. And so really, I'll get into stuff later on, probably another podcast, but since that time, since he died, and this message has basically just infiltrated itself into my soul, which is relationships matter most, or life is about connection. And it's from him. And I've just seen it as my life's gone on. It's like, yeah, anywhere that I've ever gotten to when it comes to, I don't know, you could call them achievements or things like when I got into grad school or getting, you know, go to play baseball in college for a couple of years. And it's always because of who I knew.
Yeah.
You know, it's always about relationships. And so the word motive, MOTYV, came from just a sit down. I was talking to my best friend, Jared, and I was at his house one night, and we were trying to talk about how I could basically brand my therapy practice and not call it my name.
Mm-hmm.
And call it something else and have more of a mission, a kind of a flag. I didn't really want it to be about Shaden. And so motive came up with how much I care about why, you know, just, I'm always asking why. And the word motive came up, and to spell it with a Y seemed kind of cool.
Oh yeah.
So that's why the Y is in there, is it's all about,
I like it.
Why. And I think we need to do a better job in our life of asking ourselves why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
All right. It's your turn.
All right. So let's see. I guess I like this question here. Brie, if you could say one thing. Yeah, she takes a deep breath.
I like to say lots of things.
If you could say one thing to anyone listening right now who is facing a life-altering trial or struggle, which, crazy enough, we all are right now. We're in the middle of the social distancing,
coronavirus.
Then what would you say to them?
So I think that my one thing I would say, and it depends on, I guess, what people are going through, but because of you know, my life experiences, I think that when we go through things that are life altering, we sometimes mourn the person that we feel like we're losing in ourselves. And I think that if you can embrace yourself for who you are, even if, you know, that's a change from what you're used to, and you can really accept and love yourself, then you stop holding yourself back from healing from whatever it is that you're going through.
That's huge.
Thank you.
Seriously, that's huge.
Well, I know that, just, you know, that's been my life experiences, some of them. I can elaborate on if we want to.
Well, I want everybody that's listening to just take note of that. That's probably not the answer that anybody would have guessed. That's not a normal answer, you know.
No.
And I love it because it's absolute. My dad, you know, when watching him go from an athletic, I mean, so strong. I mean, I lifted every single day in high school, and I never could beat him in an arm wrestle. Like, I was way more fit than
dad's strength.
Yeah, just dad's strength. And so to watch him, like, when he was diagnosed, he knew he would be put in a wheelchair. He knew he'd have, you know, a feeding tube. He knew that he would not be able to walk, that he wouldn't be able to talk, that he wouldn't be able to do anything but blink. Like, he knew that.
Oh, yeah, that's hard.
And so to do exactly what you're talking about in such an accelerated state as well, of mm-hmm. like from one day to the next, like, 'cause one day he was walking and then he fell in our garage and he concussed himself so hard that he had amnesia for like 2 or 3 days.
Oh gosh.
I was on my mission, but I was just told this. And from that moment forward, he was in a wheelchair. And so to just, that's now gone. And to grieve that, if you can't accept it, then you're just going to be miserable.
Well, that's something I went through, you know, through a time in my life where I had a life altering injury that I still have and will always have. But it took me a little while to realize that I was grieving for myself and the person that I lost and that I knew I would never be again. And that was really holding me back. And once I finally accepted that and accepted myself, then miracles started happening in my life.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Okay. Well, I think for today, we want to keep these at a pretty decent time, and we're about right there.
All right.
So thank you for listening. And I know we sort of demonstrated self-ownership. I think we thought we'd be a lot more nervous than we really were.
Yeah.
At least I did.
I think so. I think it's easy because if you're listening, you should know Shaden and I have been friends for a long, long time. And
yeah.
I think if this was someone else, maybe we would be more nervous.
Yep.
We're not.
So I always want to leave these with a bit of a challenge, which would be to, for all of you listening, when you're in front of somebody, especially in any kind of human interaction, and you're denying your human experience in front of them, the funny part is it shows anyway.
Oh yeah.
People see it anyway. And to be vulnerable enough to just say, this is what's going on for me. Mm-hmm. Say your husband was talking to you and saying something about, I don't know, just saying something to you that got you defensive. It's really powerful to just say, hey, I just want you to let you know, I'm kind of feeling defensive right now. And I'm not accusing you of anything, but I'm just kind of feeling defensive. That allows him to say, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll give her a second to collect herself, or maybe he'll just ramp it up even more if he's like, but it's a powerful thing, and it's vulnerable and it's honest, and it allows you to become more self-aware.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think people too are drawn to you when they see the real you, and you know, when you allow that openness and your emotions and your connections with other people and that understanding.
Yeah.
That's when people are drawn to you and have a desire to be around you.
Yeah. So I want to challenge you too, Brie, when we're doing these things, I think it's going to be really helpful if you'll play devil's advocate with me. Like if I get,
I will.
I know, it's awesome. Cause if I say something like, you know, you can just do this, and it's like butterflies and rainbows, I want you to say, well, what about this? And cause
we don't always agree.
That's what most of the listeners, I think they're doing. Like, yeah, Shaden, that'd be great to just like own myself in front of my husband or in front of my boss and just say this and this and this. But this is the problem. They're going to say this back, and you know, who knows? But I just know that the most powerful person in the room is the one that's most vulnerable usually. So.
All right. I like it.
What's our send off? We didn't even plan for a send off.
We didn't.
Everybody has to have a send off.
Oh boy.
I mean, with my clients, I always say, like, go face your fear. go face your fear and
I like that.
Conquer yourself. So we'll figure something out. It'll evolve.
Stick around for next time.
Yep, thanks for listening.